What changes happened? When and where did you teach?
Well, my first educational experience was right after I graduated from college, and I became the director of admissions at Hanover College. And then shortly after that, I went into the military service. When I came back, my first actual classroom teaching experience was at Bossy High School in Evansville in 1954.
And what grade level or courses did you teach?
At that time, I taught biology and what they called health and safety, and that was at the sophomore level.
Okay. And describe the classroom that you remember best.
The classes that I remember best?
I guess like the environment or something in your classroom.
Well, we had an interesting time when we were trying various experiments, classifying students and bringing them together. And at one point, I had the opportunity to select 30 students that were in what I felt in an upper academic level. And we placed them all together and taught them the same curriculum that we were teaching to the mixed classes. And that was really an enjoyable experience, and we came out with some interesting results as to what you can do with a group of students like that.
Mm-hmm. Describe a typical day in your teaching career.
Well, a typical day, back in those days, it was get up early, go to school, and sit in the faculty lounge for an hour or so and chit-chat with fellow teachers. And then when the bell rang, we started our classes, and we'd have about three or four classes in a row and a break, and two or three classes in a row and a break, and then my afternoon experiences were filled with coaching.
Describe your relationship with the administrators you worked for.
Oh, I had an excellent relationship. I was fortunate to be a student at Bossy High School, and then when I returned to teaching, I happened to be able to return as a teacher at Bossy High School, and many of the former teachers that I had were administrators at that time, and it was just great to come back and join a group of people that I'd known most of my life.
Mm-hmm. Describe students you remember, maybe just one in particular.
Students that I remember? Oh, there are just so many. You have so many great experiences over a 33 or 34 year period that it's hard to pick out one that comes to your fancy, but I can remember the ones that I run into around town, and they still look back on the days that they were at Bossy and the great experiences we had and the fun times we had together. And they are still respectful students. They are not violent in any way. They mean well, they do well, and they act well.
Mm-hmm. How is your curriculum developed?
Well, every 7 years in the school system at that time, we had an opportunity to revise the curriculum. And so it would bring together a group of faculty members that would sit down from various schools in the community that were teaching the same subject. And we'd have a chance to review what we had been doing, the type of textbook that we wanted to use for the next 7 years, the type of instruction that we wanted to follow and what we would include in the curriculum. And it was developed by a team of professionals, and we had fun doing it, and we had fun carrying it out.
Mm-hmm. How far did your paycheck go?
Well, in those days, we were lucky when it went from paycheck to paycheck, and we used to talk about getting a paycheck and investing it in everything we could if there was anything left. One interesting part of that was that in those days, teachers were paid on a 9-month basis, and you got your paycheck every couple of weeks, but when summertime came, you didn't have a check. And a bunch of us got together and decided we'd like to spread that out over the 12-month period and get a paycheck every 2 weeks or every month based on our salary for the year. And we started getting those checks, and sure enough, didn't take long. The people in the community saw teachers enjoying the summer and not working, doing anything but drawing a paycheck. And that started some reactions amongst people in the community thinking teachers were being paid for not doing anything.
Describe any extracurricular activities you were involved in as part of the school day.
Well, I was involved in athletics, and so that kept me involved in a variety of activities. I got to work with the cheerleaders, and I got to work with the people in the band. I got to work with people that were in the pep club. And so those extracurricular activities blended right in with the athletic program, and we enjoyed it very much.
Think of an historical event that happened during your teaching career. Like, what was your school like that day?
One that I remember the most was the day that President Kennedy was assassinated. I was a counselor at North High School, and the word came in along about midday that somebody had shot the president. And in North, we had a PA system that went to every room in the building. And I thought, this is going to be something very important. So I went to the office, switched on the PA system so that everybody in the school building could hear it. And the reaction was such a somber reaction. And the rest of the day was just a sad, moving experience. Very little noise, very little activity. And everybody was keyed in to listening to the results of what was going on.
What were some of the most trying situations in your career?
I think that discipline has always been a trying problem. I grew up as a child respecting discipline. I felt that fear preceded discipline, and so many of the things that my parents and relatives and others did instilled a little fear in my mind, and then I became a better disciplined person as a result of that. In the course of my teaching, I saw that discipline became a subject that the topic of due process began to come into play, and discipline went down the hill. Instead of more and more discipline, we had less and less, and it became a reaction, and students become a product of their environment, and when they had less discipline, the environment became more and more disorganized.
When did you feel successful?
Well, I was fortunate in my counseling experiences that I got involved with a lot of people, both in this community and throughout the state of Indiana and the United States of America, and becoming involved with that kind of people, when your peers elect you to an office or give you an award, you feel like you've done something that has merited their attention. And I guess part of that, you begin to feel like in some way you've been a little bit successful when they give you some type of reward for something.
Mm-hmm. Describe the best aspects of a teaching profession.
The best aspects? Well, you're fortunate because you get to deal with young people. I think you're fortunate that you get to deal with fellow educators that are people involved with wanting to help people learn. And as a byproduct of that, you get involved with people in the community and the parents of those students. And so you have a well-rounded group of friendships and opportunities to develop things that you'd like to develop.
What about challenging aspects?
From my experiences, the most challenging were to try and overcome some of the negative attitudes that were created as a youngster grew up. You could tell that some of their attitudes came from their home environment, and it's difficult to change that. But obviously they have to reach a point where they see that maybe the environment from which they come has taught them maybe some wrong things. Mm-hmm. And in their school environment, they have a chance to perhaps balance in their mind what's good and what's bad and select their choice from there.
Mm-hmm. What was your most embarrassing moment in teaching?
Well, I'm not sure whether it was my embarrassing moment or the students. I remember one time at Bossy when I was coaching track, I had a young man that I wanted to enter into one of the events, and I said, we need you to go over and run this event and get third or fourth, because in those days, track meets were won on the basis of one or two extra points, not total points. And my advisor coach had taught me how to do that, and I sent this young man over in a hurry to put him in the race so that perhaps he could get third or fourth and get us an extra point. And a minute the race was over and the young man came back and he hadn't run in the race. And I said, what in the world happened? He said, well, when I pulled my sweats off, I didn't have any underclothes on.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was standing there with him, and I guess that was a little embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. Describe the first school you taught
me. Well, my first school was Bossy, and that was my high school that I attended. And going home to teach in a place that I had spent 4 years previously, it was just an exciting experience. And in 1954 and 55, students were such that they were, most of them were there to get an education, and they pursued that education, and we had a lot of fun together.
What was the biggest problem you had in your classroom?
I think the as a result of several years, the problem became our efforts as a society to keep people in school. And we started keeping more people in school than maybe previous years had, and it ended up that the people we were keeping in school were really the dropouts of previous years. And the dropouts being held in a class made it difficult for you to try and teach the top to the bottom level. And you end up spending most of your time with discipline problems aimed at those in the lower quarter of the class, and the other three-fourths of the kids just sit and wait. And that's a problem, because we're depriving those who want to learn based on spending all of our time trying to deal with those who don't want to learn.
Did you send students to the principal's office?
Well, we had to in those days. As we developed the theory of due process, you had to keep a set of records on everything that you did for a student. And you had to keep records in your classroom about motivational skills, how many times a student was attending, how many times absent, how many times referred to the office for a discipline problem. You had to keep almost a diary on each student so that if and when you reached a point of saying, well, it's really no sense you're staying in school any longer, you had to be able to prove it all and show what you'd done for the previous years. And that became a thing. You were always in an adversarial role.
Mm-hmm. How did you change during the year you were teaching?
During the years I was teaching? Well, I guess age makes you change on a lot of things. You start out young and enthusiastic, and you keep getting involved. And the thing that probably helped me the most was when I retired from teaching, I still felt like I was as young as I was when I started. And I think that was the product, being a product of the environment, being around young people all the time.
How did you prepare to be a teacher?
Well, your preparation is such that academically you have to have a preparation of 4 years in college. You have to prepare yourself with the requirements for a teacher's license in whichever state you want to teach. And then after you start teaching, there's a period of time in which you must pursue additional education and work toward obtaining a master's degree. And then either work toward advanced degrees after that, depending upon the level at which you like to teach.
Did your educational philosophy change as you continue to teach?
Well, when I first started the school, started teaching, we talked in terms of having an academic lane and a vocational lane. And everybody seemed to think everybody should go to college. And I kind of changed my opinion that I didn't think college was for everybody. But certainly not going to college shouldn't deprive them of an opportunity. And instead of preparing for a college, I tried to insist that your thinking has to be developed toward plan for a vocation, and then get the things that you need to get you into that particular type of vocation. So vocational education became a primary concern of mine.
How How did you motivate your students to read or write? Or I guess maybe...
I really wasn't involved in an area where we could motivate them to read or write. We insisted that they take their textbooks home and read the subject matter. But as far as writing was concerned, I'm not sure that I spent any time teaching them how to write. And computers were just beginning to come in at one point in my education, and the writing went out the window, and assignments were being turned in typing, typewritten assignments. And I noticed a large number of kids started doing that. I guess today's generation, the computer takes care of correcting all the spelling, too.
Mm-hmm. What did your students do for you?
Well, they motivated me. They gave me some incentives to try and learn new things so that I could stay one step ahead of them, especially in the biology area. Having majored in biology in college and then not being asked to teach biology in high school for about 20 or 30 years later, I had noticed a tremendous change had taken place in biology, and the students were probably way ahead of my college education at that point because the biology subjects had been taught in elementary schools, and they were way ahead of us. I had to stay one step ahead each day.
Did you consider your teaching stressful? So, what did you do to relieve stress from the various activities?
Well, stressful in the extent that I was in the counseling area for about 25 years. And when you begin to know the internal problems that certain people have, it becomes a little stressful because confidentiality requires you to keep a lot of that information to yourself. And when you know certain problems that people are having and kids that you like are having some problems, you get involved in their personal life and it's hard to separate. And so in that respect, stressful, yes. In the classroom, dealing with the dropout motivated student that has no respect for authority, that becomes a stressful situation because I guess from the time that I started teaching until the time that I considered retirement, a number of changes took place. Paddling was eliminated. Touching a student was eliminated. I can remember when I was a kid, teachers could grab me and shake me and straighten me out real quick, and the problem was solved. In today's society, if a teacher touches a student, that becomes a problem 6 months down the road. So the student's not really straightened out at the time, and they get away with a lot of things that they shouldn't get away with, and sometimes a little quick jerk or a quick slap on the rear might straighten out. But our whole society doesn't accept that idea anymore, and I'm still a disciplinarian, I guess, in my thinking.
If you could do it all over again, would you still become a teacher?
I think so. I went into teaching because I loved kids and I loved coaching and athletics, and that gave me an opportunity to get involved in that aspect and with young people. And my guess is that if the time came around, I'd do it again.
And then my final question, what advice would you give to someone like me starting out in teaching profession?
I think you have to give serious thought to the area of teaching, whether you want to teach in an elementary school, lower grades, or whether you want to deal with the upper grades in an elementary school, or whether you want to get into the high school level, and then the subject matter that you'd like to be able to teach. The tragedy that I was faced with, that in order to get into teaching, you almost had to take any job that was open, whether it was your major field, your minor field, your interest area or not, that if you were fortunate enough to get a job, then you might have to teach three or four subjects that you had no interest in. And I'm not sure how that's working today, but if you have a chance to get a job in a place where you can actually teach what you want to teach and be involved in what you want to teach, that would be my recommendation. Start where you can do what you really want to do and not do what you have to do just to get the job. But I'm not sure how personnel matters are being handled today, and how, from what I hear, there are lots of teaching opportunities available, but whether they're the same mess that it used to be, that you have to take a job and then do a lot of extracurricular activities to hold that job, I'm not sure. But as far as I'm concerned, if you can find a place and teach what you want to teach, I think you'd be happy.
Okay. Thank you.